The Sportscast, May 24th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Listen to us on online digital radio. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, and our app. Download our app, The Sportscast, for the latest and greatest, all our podcasts, our news. And this episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download that as well for from the App Store. NBA playoffs weekend number one, was a awesome blast. There were crowds. If you saw the Knicks Stadium, Madison Square Garden, not Gardens, Garden, and Phoenix Suns, wow. The energy. I never thought the NBA will open up this quick for the fans, but really glad things are back. And I cannot think of anyone else to recap weekend one but Ryan Krista, ICOM Sports Center. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
San Diego, it's good to be back. Wow, yes, you can say wow for that first opening weekend. First round series is always great because you got four games each, like you said, it just felt normal for the first time in sports in a long time, where you had people on people and it was loud and it was great, it was awesome to see. Like you referenced Madison Square Garden, I know the Knicks didn't win, but wow. Yeah, that 1990s feel of Madison Square Garden, San Diego. I thought Patrick Ewing was going to come out.
I thought Larry Johnson was going to come out at the tunnel, too.
Yeah, it was awesome. Great, some were more full than others. And I honestly, the things I heard is I thought, the NBA was going to try to cap at 9,000 everywhere. So even, but there you go. The Knicks said, no, we're going to put 15,000 people in here, especially being in New York, it was a state, it was cool to see, we've changed the rules, basically, if you're vaccinated, you can basically, they can do whatever they want, so.
Rochester is as equal as New York City, pretty much, you're saying.
Yeah, well, I just went to minor league baseball game here opening day for our team, last week, and I went down their season. I had people all around me. It just felt normal. High five strangers. It was great.
It was great. I know in Florida we've been open for almost a year. Well, no, not a year, but less than a year, and it's you're just catching up to us.
Yeah. We're catching up. So it's just fun. Just to get live. Not just live, but just normal playoff basketball is great.
I agree.
Hopefully it'll be a pre-setter for the next couple months.
I agree as well. Okay, before we recap the first weekend, what was your thoughts over the NBA play-in?
It was different, I didn't really, it was, they kind of started this idea last year with the bubble, to get more teams in there. But, I think they thought, okay, the play-in basically allowed, additional two teams chances to get into the playoffs. I thought, the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies used that momentum, in the play-on, to get that first night victory. I thought they, they're so young that, they're just going to, they're going to make mistakes, but they play with so much energy. They're going to be a tough out for anybody, but at the same time, that young experienceness will catch up to them eventually here in the playoffs. But, I think they're able to beat the Spurs who, just kind of the shell themselves kind of rebuilding. And then, they had to hold off Steph Curry Friday night. Eastern Conference, Washington obviously didn't use that. Same token, they weren't able to get that momentum that, the Grizzlies used, but I think they played hard against the Sixers. That's just a really tough matchup for the Wizards, but it's just something different. I think what the benefit of the play-in wasn't necessarily last week, but it was the last couple weeks of the regular season where, instead of having teams just going through the motions to get through the season, you had more teams actively trying to get those spots. Even, you had It just made for better basketball at the end of the season than just, you know, teams trying to tank for draft position.
Yeah, and the teams that we thought that, okay, they will probably automatically make it, you know, like the Lakers and Warriors, never happened. Same for the East. Well, the East was different. The East was actually a little bit more accurate because the Wizards made it, and the – who's the other team? Anyways.
Oh, the Wizards? Oh,
It was the Celtics.
Yeah, because the Wizards lost to the Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah, so the West – like the East was more predictable – versus the West. Do you think they'll continue to do this for like the next upcoming years? Or I mean, people are saying positive things about it so far.
Yeah, I mean, everybody but LeBron James seems to be on board with it. But you know, I mean, again, you know, it takes a little bit. You know, obviously makes the games more important at the end. But kind of, you know, you don't have to be good to get in there. You know what I mean? So I mean, the 10 best teams, you know, you're not really separating. You know. Basically, average teams are playing in the play-in, but that's all right.
It's NBA Ryan likes it. So, I mean, you give it a B.
I give it an A minus.
Okay.
I liked it.
I like it because if the Grizzlies didn't win it, then I would say, no, scrap it. That's all
I'm
saying.
Yeah, you know, you got one of the 9 seed, the team's winning, yeah.
Exactly. But if it was, like predictable, of course, you'll try another year, then just scrap it because it's just, you know, it's just, you know who's good, who's not. Anyways, are you ready to recap weekend one?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All righty then. The first game of the weekend of the NBA playoffs 2020 was the Milwaukee Bucks defeating the Heat 109-107. Close game, Ryan. What were your thoughts over that matchup?
You know, I mean, kind of what I expected. You know, the Bucks got a tough break by playing the Heat in the first round because the Heat, our team, I think because of injuries this year, they weren't able to really play up to their full potential. And I see, but, you know, when you got players like Jimmy Butler and Bam, you know, they're going to give you a chance to win no matter who you're playing. You know, I mean, and then obviously the difference, I mean, Jimmy sent the game to overtime and Chris Middleton won the game for the Bucks. You know, I think you're going to have, I don't know how many games, at least 6, I think, if not 7, you know, for the Bucks to get through this. But if this is any indication how the series is going to go, it's going to be fun and entertaining, you know. If the Bucks do get through this, you know, they're going to have to spend a lot more energy than, you know, maybe the Nets will have to on the Celtics, you know, so that could be long-term ramifications in that way. But
if it goes to 7 games, who do you think will win?
I mean, I got the Bucks. I think the Bucks are a better team overall, top to bottom. I mean, Jimmy's good, you know. I mean, they'd like to get the old Tyler Hero from last year. We don't know what happened there, but you know, Giannis is the best player on the court, and I always usually, in the NBA setting, I usually like to go with the best player. So,
do you think Giannis, people are calling him like a Shaq light? Would you think he's that type of player?
Just in the way how it takes multiple people to stop him. I mean, he's such a physical specimen. Like, I mean, his ability to drive to the basket and his strength is unmatched. So it takes a couple of people, and I mean, if he could hit a jump shot consistently, I mean, he can hit it okay, but not enough for people not to, you know, I mean, your best option is to force him to just take that, you know, an outside shot. So, I mean, not saying he doesn't work on it, and I don't know, so I'm assuming he's probably in his career, he's never going to be a great shooter, but if he gets one-on-one, it's all over, it's the basket. So,
we shall see.
Same, you know, I mean, they're different types of players. I mean, Shaq was in the post all the time, but if you didn't double-team Shaq, it was all over in his prime.
Not even Dikembe Mutombo can stop him. Anyways, game two is tonight. I'll be watching at a restaurant with a friend, so definitely looking forward to it. It's a pivotal game, too. If we lose it, that's fine. We come back home, but it'd be nice to win.
Yeah, you gotta win. You know, San Diego is a Heat family. You got to win one out of two next games to keep the series alive, and I think they will. Maybe tonight, maybe game 3 in Miami, but It's all right. You keep the faith alive. You know, I do think this will go at least six games. I just gonna go. You know, I know last year that he played. You know, the sum of the parts was, great for the Heat last year, and the Bucks just seemed to lose their concentration in the bubble. But this is a different. This is different. This is, you know, a normal playoff season. I just think the Bucks got it going.
Yeah, and I think the Heat got a bubble advantage. I'm not sure if it was a Florida thing, but it worked out well for them in their favor. This time around is different. You got to travel to places like Milwaukee, which is not exciting. Anyways, the other matchup, I called it to Ryan. I think this is a rivalry brewing. The Mavericks defeated the Clippers in Los Angeles, 113-102. I know Ryan was happy, and I know Mark Cuban was. What were your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, it was nice to get that first one. It is a Mavericks fan, but, you know, this kind of goes back to the Clippers being the Clippers, you know, like that playoff, you know, great regular season team. They're kind of folding in the playoffs. And I'll be straight, you know. I mean, if the Clippers play their best, it's going to be hard for the Mavericks to advance, but... game one, I mean, the Mavericks, you know, Luka did his thing, triple-double, 31 points, and he got enough from everybody else to kind of get through where, you know, the problem with, you know, Paul George and Kawhi, you know, the last couple of years is that they don't get the consistent, they're both not on at the same time in the game, you know, when it matters. So, I mean, they're both on cold in the fourth quarter, and it's tough. You know, I think what made it really hard last year for the Mavericks against the Clippers, besides being, you know, dealing with Porzingis' injury and then Luka got hurt, but is the they had a hard time stopping Lou Williams. And I think that's what the Clippers are. You know, they got Rondo, which is, you know, helps with, but Rondo isn't Lou Williams in the fourth quarter. Rondo will get you organized, play a tough defense, but this is lacking that consistent shot maker, I think. But I'll be, you know, honest. I think the Clippers probably still get, you know, took us through in six. But if the Mavericks have any chance, they still that game, you know. So hopefully they can carry the momentum tomorrow night.
I don't know.
Victory.
I could see a Mavericks win this series, but of course you're dealing with Kawhi. So definitely a Doncic.
Something like Kawhi and, you know, Paul George, when they're unguardable. Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, I think that's dream of why they're playing together is like you got two people that take, you know, when they're on, it takes two people to stop. So, you know, you're going to have to hope that they miss their open shots. So that's what happened Sunday, but hey, Saturday. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Game two is tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. Look at Doncic at 31 points. Let's go back to the East. Brooklyn Nets, Boston Celtics. Nets look pretty good. A Boston Celtics team, you know, known for the team of the future, is not looking good. Had a good play-in tournament, but lost pretty bad, 104-93. Things are gelling in the Nets in Brooklyn. Ryan, what are your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, I think it's good for them to be able to get some defense. You know, I think that we all know they can score, and I don't think that was their best offensive game, but back then holding a team under 100 points, I think the Nets do that consistently, they'll be NBA champions for sure because the offensive talent is there. I think most people think this is no more than a five-game series. And I think that's true.
I've been hearing
too many weapons.
Nets, you know, sweeping through the East and going to the NBA Finals. Is that something you see as well?
No, because I think they'll get resistance from, you know, I mean, next round they'd be playing the Bucks or the Heat. So, I mean, that's going to be tough. So, I just think this is just with Jaylen Brown's injury, you know, this is, and they were already struggling before that. This is not the Celtics team that we thought we'd see. And there's nothing against Brad Stevens. I don't think he's a bad coach. They may hit the, you know, Jason Tatum hitting his prime, but the team itself is just not gelling.
Something's happened in Boston. I like Stevens, but what I've been hearing, he's a X's and O's guy, but not much of a personal type of coach, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean...
Book nerd, but not a street nerd.
I mean, he does have good X's and O's, and I think he's not a motivator necessarily, but I think he gets people in the same. I mean, you got Butler, you know, college, university, that back-to-back championships in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing and can get the most out of his team. But it's a different thing in the NBA, so we'll see what happens. A
whole different animal. Let's go back into the West. The Blazers beat the Nuggets 123-109. Lillard had 34 points. Is this something, a red flag for the Denver Nuggets, or will they bounce back as usually and win this series?
Oh, this is a major red flag. This is nuts. This team is, without Jamal Murray, their front line is pretty great with Aaron Gordon and the future MVP, Nikola Jokic. Yeah, that's great. But until they can get consistent guard play, it's going to be tough for them. But, you know, especially in Damian Lillard, you know, that second half he was on point. That's a tough. No matter who the Nuggets play, it's going to be a tough matchup for them. Not saying they can't bounce back and win the next four games, because Jokic is that good. But
NBA MVP front runner.
I just don't see them being a championship team this year without, you know, a guard, a elite guard that can really lead to, you know, separate himself from others.
I agree. Jokic needs a partner in crime. He can't do it alone, but we'll see. The Blazers have a opportunity here to go to the next round, and we'll see what happens. Number one Sixers against a fresh off NBA play-in Wizards defeated. The Sixers won 125-118. Great matchup there, but as Ryan was saying, Wizards don't have enough. I know they have Westbrook and Beal, but that might not be enough for the Sixers, who have size. What are your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, too much size offensively for the Sixers. They can just get where they want when they want. And that's just kind of that's been a Wizards thing all year. You know, that even when they're losing early on this last year, like, the lack of points was never an issue. It's getting timely stops. So, and that's what pro basketball is all about.
Something that I really am liking is the Westbrook going to Wizards. I feel like this could work well. Of course, I know they need a big guy. You know, just realize, you know, he's back with his old coach. This is what Beal needed. Is this something that I could see similar to what the Clippers are doing?
I think this is, you know, I mean, this is a desperation move, you know, I think, to keep Bradley Beal. And I think, you know, when we had the trade deadline even a couple weeks ago, I mean, there was this, you know, they were outside looking in, but I think, and he took a chance, you know, that this combo will get him to the playoffs, and it has. And they still have it, you know. What are you going to do with, you know, are they going to build around these two, or are they going to just say, it was just, you know, we don't think even the height of this, pretend these two will get us the championship and we'll start rebuilding again. But, I mean, I think Beal's still kind of, he's probably in his prime. Westbrook is probably obviously on decline, even though his stats are amazing. But he still is, you know, he's in the bottom end of his prime. Let's just say that. So he's not the long-term answer.
And we can't move on to give credit to the Sixers. Tobias Harris had 37 points. Joel Embiid had 30. So pretty good combination there, Ryan.
Yeah, that's, I mean, too much size inside. You know, that's what the Sixers will do to you. I mean, they got a 6'10 point guy, Santiago, and Ben Simmons, you know, 6'8, you know, Tobias Harris, 7-footer, Joel Embiid, you know, then you have shooting with Curry and Green. Well orchestrated team, Santiago, well coached, and Doc Rivers.
I was reading.
That's why I'm saying the Nets are not going to just walk through to the finals.
I was reading an article that the NBA wants to avoid what the Sixers did, to, you know, to choke, you know, several years to get good draft picks. Is that something that you've heard as well?
Oh, yeah. That's why we got the play-in tournament.
That's right. That's where I was reading it from.
Yes. But in the end of the day, they won and lost on some of them. They got, obviously, they did good on Joel Embiid, but he wasn't, you know, he was number three pick. You know, they swung on and missed on a couple of them, but like a Markel Fultz and Nolan's Noel, they, you know, Markelle Fultz is still in the league, you know, with injuries. But, I mean, Nolan's Noel is, an average player playing for the Knicks right now. So, obviously, he wasn't a number one caliber player. So, I mean, it took several years. I mean, I think underrated is Brett Brown, the guy they fired last year, who kind of endured the process of getting these guys to a certain point. I think a lot of, in Doc Rivers is a guy I think they brought in to close the deal, get him to, guys who won championship, players respect. Kind of, in a way, like what Mark Jackson did for the Warriors, endure the process of Clay and Steph when they were young, build them up to a certain point, and then Steve Kerr came in and finished the deal. And I think that's what they're hoping for the Sixers.
Definitely see some promise with the 76ers, and we'll see what Doc does. He definitely got them to number one.
I would just be very surprised if it's not the Sixers and Nets in the conference finals.
I would not be surprised at that. Which I was about to ask you. I mean, the likelihood is there. Who has the edge?
I think the Sixers are a little more defensive oriented. I think. And then that's probably just a little more firepower. But, I mean, you're grasping a start. I mean, really what you got to look at is the Nets are going to be – if the Nets are healthy, yes, they got to be the team to beat. Like, I mean, you got three elite players. Like, we've never seen anything like that. Like,
I know. We're talking about Kevin Durant.
I mean, it's just a little bit like the Warriors had a couple of years ago.
Or the Sixers might have the edge with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I mean coaching advantage. Yeah, I mean you've got Steve Nash, who's pretty much fresh out of playing basketball, who's never coached. It's a little bit of weirdness, but it seems to be working. I think it's a guy. They brought him in to be a guy to the players like and all that. So.
Let's first play it out. You got to go through Miami Heat first or the Milwaukee. Anyways, let's swing back to the West. Phoenix Suns versus the L.A. Lakers that came out of the play-in. Suns defeated the Lakers 99-90. Great, great atmosphere. Reminded me of the Utah Jazz Salt Lake City, but this was a very good atmosphere. Good series going to happen. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton combined for 55 points and 23 rebounds. This could be one heck of a series, Ryan.
Yeah, it's weird. I really don't know. Like, it just seems like the Lakers had their foot in the mud for most of this game. I don't know. It was pretty weird to see. So, but no shame in giving credit to the Suns for being ready to play and having a good game plan. I mean, since they got great coaching, I think Monty Williams is a great coach. They got a great coach on the court, and Chris Paul, Scorer, and Devin Booker.
Which Chris Paul got injured.
A great big man. Yeah.
Shoulder.
Yeah, he did. I think he'll be okay. He's going to be fine. I think he'll win. I don't think he'll be 100%, but the playoffs, I think he'll get through it. But we'll see.
Bringing great veteran leadership in that Phoenix Suns team.
Yeah, and then, and then you got your good big man in Ayton, and then you just got a lot of good pieces around. This might not be the year. This is, kind of a crying shame that they had a great year and have to play the Lakers in the first round. I know they won game one, but, geez, it's going to be hard.
Can the Lakers bounce back in Phoenix?
What'd you say?
Can the Lakers bounce back in Phoenix?
Oh, absolutely. I think they'll – I don't know really what was going on. They just didn't look the same, man. But I don't know if that was it or just giving all the credit to the Suns on that. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of games.
And, yep, that is going to be an interesting series. Can't wait to look at it for game two. Back to the East, New York Knicks, Atlanta Hawks. I believe this is the first Knicks playoff game since 2011, maybe 16. I can't remember exactly. But it was a great turnout. A lot of my New York friends I was seeing on Instagram, exciting to see this Knicks game, of course. But the Hawks won by 2 points, 107-105. But it's okay because the Knicks are back in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was kind of like, and this is just kind of like the point, I think, at the end of the day, who won or lost. It was just like, okay, this is a moment I think you can look at in sports and say, we've made it through the toughest times through this pandemic, you know. To see, you know, Madison Square Garden loud and rocking, and Spike Lee jumping up and down the sidelines, you know. Yeah, it was a tough ending, and Trae Young made a great play, you know. And I guess the big controversy, you know, you got a great defender, Frank Nicoletta, who hadn't played all game, comes in, you know, to basically guard Trae Young in this last play. And, and Trae Young beat him pretty easily off the dribble. I'm not going to doubt Tibbs. Santiago, Tibbs has just done an amazing job with, I think, an average talented basketball team that they all bought in and playing so well together. This team defines New York tough for sure. At the same time, Nate McMillan, when he was brought on to coach the Hawks, this team was in 14th place in the league in the conference, you know, and they end up coming in fifth. So two coaches that really saved their team's seasons this year. And I hope this is you have a great defensive team in the Knicks and a great offensive team in the Hawks. Let's see who wins out.
I really had a lot of doubts with Thibs, but it's working out really well up in New York.
Yeah. I think through the years, you know, he's had to change his style to be more, I think he came in, as his defensive grew, and then he came into the Bulls and it worked, and being not necessarily a player's coach. And then he got to Minnesota, and I think he just clashed, because not everybody can accept that type of coaching. So I think he's found that balance now. He took some time away, and I think the Knicks are probably regretting they didn't hire this guy a couple of times when he was up for jobs for the Knicks. But he's here now, and I think, I don't think Julius Randle is a long-term answer for this franchise, but he's holding down the fort for sure. As they build up, the talent around him, R.J. Barrett is coming along, Emmanuel Quickly, and then Obi Toppin, the pieces are there, the pieces are there enough, I think, to lure the next big free agent signing. I think they got the agent in, the GM in there, they got the coach in there, now they just need that glorified star to be the face of the franchise.
Trae Young led with 32 points. Bogdan Bogdanovic with 18 of his own. Won it. This series could go down to seven games.
I don't know what Bogdanovic means in Serbian, but it must mean be able to shoot the three-pointer. Because between that guy and the guy from the Bogdanovic from the Jazz, those are two of the best shooters in the NBA.
what's up with these European players?
Well, that's kind of the claim to fame, but I get both of those guys, so.
Anyways, let's go into the last game, the most exciting one that I want to talk about. Grizzlies defeating the Utah Jazz 112-109. This guy named Dylan Brooks, he is walking like Kobe Bryant. Had 31 points. Ja Morant had 26.
Whoa. Back the truck up there. Oh, great. I'm not necessarily always been a Kobe guy, but Dylan Brooks said, building his legacy. I don't know if we want to call him the next Kobe Bryant, but.
When I saw him walking in pregame, he looked very confident.
Oh, yeah, that's what the Grizzlies are, a very confident team, like I said. They have no fear. They don't care that they're going into an arena that, for better, lack of a better thing, has been crowded all year. You know what you're going to get in Salt Lake City. Obviously not having Donovan Mitchell help the Grizzlies that game, but it wasn't for the lack of the Jazz being ready, but I think the Jazz jumped out to about a 12-14-point lead in the first half. So we'll see what happens.
The first time in a while, a number 8 beating a number 1, is this what we're going to see here, or this is just a game 1 hoax?
I'm leaning toward the latter. I don't like I said, I don't think it's no disrespect to the Grizzlies. It's more of just appreciation for the Jazz and the type of basketball they play, team oriented, and everybody's a threat. I just anything when they get Donovan Mitchell healthy, it's too many weapons for the Jazz. You know,
when do you think he'll come back?
Yeah, I mean, I'll sign the point that he was going to play in game one. It was kind of a last minute, you know, like scratch. You know, they wasn't strong enough. So I think they played. I think it's Wednesday.
They play Wednesday, 10 p.m. on TNT.
So, I mean, again, all signs saying he's listed as questionable. So
Donovan is having an ankle injury.
I assume he's going to play, especially since they didn't get the win the other day, that they probably take more of a chance to put him out there. But, I mean, the Jazz, if you love team first basketball and more like, you know, just pass to the open man, like, that's what you get. You know, I think a lot of NBA ball right now is, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, star on star, you know, one on one, which is fine. I don't mind it. But, you know, a lot of people are, you know, that spreading the ball around and passing, and that's what you get from the Jazz, which is, which makes them tough. You know, I don't know the difference is you've got to have that star in that fourth quarter in the playoffs, you know, the crunch time, you know, and that might be what the Jazz lack to get to the finals. I mean, nothing wrong with Mitchell. We haven't seen him in the, you know, conference semis and finals be able to do that yet. So we'll see.
Utah Jazz. Bogdanović had 29 points. Any thoughts on that?
No matter what, I do think the Jazz will move on to the next round.
I mean, I'm personally going for the Grizz.
Oh, I love the Grizz. I love John Moran. I love what they're building. I think Taylor Jenkins is a heck of a coach. They're lucky, you know. They got, I mean, him. You know, we talk about Dylan Brooks had an amazing game. You know, this is a guy. You know, I don't think he's gonna. The thing is, he's not gonna be able to bring that. This is a 17-point game score. So I mean, he's not gonna be able to reach those levels all the time. And you know, they got, you know, Moran and Brooks and Jaren Jackson, Grayson Allen. You know. There's a lot of young scorers out there. And then, you know, you got a solid big man in Valanciunas. So, definitely love what they're building there. In Memphis, if they keep healthy, you know, next year, they're definitely one of those teams trending on the upward cycle.
Definitely looking good, Grizzlies. Bring back the Tony Allen days.
This is so funny because it's so much. When you see, like, Mike Conley out there for the Jazz, he's got to be like, oh, man, goodness. I remember when we were the Grizzlies being in AC and giving everybody trouble when coming up.
But this Deja vu.
So this team is, you know, play at the fastest speed in the NBA. Doesn't mean, you know, they're their most efficient team offensively. You know, they just have the most possessions in the game. Well, I think back in the day when you had Mike Conley and Tony Allen and Mark Gasol and Zach Randolph, like, they were the slowest team in the NBA.
Rudy Gay?
That was even after. Like, Rudy Gay was there at the beginning, you know, with O.J. Mayo, but they really built it on, you know, that core of four players there.
even Shane Battier was there.
They just didn't have enough in the playoffs to get to the finals, but it was definitely a defensive-oriented team.
Oh, my gosh. Bringing back the glory days. I love the NBA playoffs, you know, even though through this past year going through the bubble. But it was definitely great to see it back with fans. It's definitely better than the bubble. But looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, great playoffs. Really think there will be some upsets.
The best 2 months of this. You know, it's one thing every night. You know that there's going to be a good playoff basketball game, man, you know, for the next couple months, which is always
And I would say in the first round.
You know, you got usually 2 to 3 good games on every night. So.
Yeah, in the first round. I mean, I'm not a 10:30 p.m. guy like you, but.
So I think what's great about this, you had the 8th-seeded Grizzlies winning. So, you know, that's not going to be necessarily a lopsided series. You know, I think I could see the Sixers being the Wizards and pretty easily. But and I also could see the Nets being the Celtics pretty easily. Other than that, I foresee no sweeps going on this round other than those two. So
at least five games.
Get 5 to 6, 7 game series. So
when they say if it's a 6 game series, it's a close series.
Yeah, I mean, some teams just finish better than others. You could have you think I got swept by can be four close games, and that's just pro basketball for you.
Pro basketball it is. Let's go for the predictions tonight. Game two, Miami at Milwaukee, 7:30 p.m. on TNT. Bucks lead the series 1-0. Ryan, who do you have for tonight, and give us a score?
Oh, just because, yeah, I'm going to go here, since I'm talking to Mr. Miami himself here, Santiago, I'm going to go with the Heat, 103-101.
103-101, close game. Then later tonight in the West, Blazers at Nuggets. Can the Nuggets come back?
Yeah, I think they get this one. I think, again, when you get these upsets in game one, the higher seeded team is definitely going to play the best they can. And I think the other team is just happy they won one game so on the road. So you tend to get a lot of blowouts when those happen. I think that's going to happen tonight. I think the Nuggets try to feel good about themselves and get a win against the Nuggets.
The Blazers.
Blazers.
Speaking about the Blazers, it was good to see Seth Curry with the Sixers. So we still have a Curry in the playoffs still.
Yeah. Definitely. So Seth Curry, it's interesting. He flops around to so many teams, but he's even last year at the Blazers, Mavericks, he was great, but the Mavericks were one of the most efficient offensive teams in NBA history last year. Didn't really get them too far, so, they needed defense, so they went in and trade with the Sixers to bring in, a defensive first guard and Josh Richardson. So, again, the player who just seems,
he's a journeyman.
Make open shots. Yeah, but...
I mean, it's not by his choice, it's just the front office.
Yeah, I think what it is he's a pure shooter, but he is not much of a defensive player. He's not a playmaker. He's just a catch and shoot kind of guy. He's nothing like his brother,
Yeah, he's not starter, but he's also benched, but could be a starter in some games. It's just
he's a guy, especially the Sixers, because to stop some of those guys, you need a double team. If Sucker's man leaves them, he's gonna drill a shot. So it's what
Who knows? Maybe
there's a stop for him.
With all those transferring, he'll probably win a chip somehow or some way.
Yeah.
Maybe with the Sixers.
We will get there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Sixers, it's going to be a fun series. But
yeah, Blazers, Lillard, man, still a good player. Definitely is a threat. I could see that an upset, but, Ryan's more of a basketball expert than I am, so I can't.
I think with that series, I'm going to go Blazers and six. So
that,
I just, like I said,
very
I just,
well. And which, awesome. What Ryan says, if you don't have home court advantage, you got to take one game away. You have to. There's just no way out of it.
Yeah, and I think the Blazers already got it, but that's that mindset now in game two. What's your mindset for the Blazers? Are you just happy you got one game? And
you go for the kill.
Sometimes, on a rare occasion, Nuggets will be in desperation mode, and, you don't play either you play your best or you play your worst in desperation mode. So
there you have it. Well, NBA playoffs games throughout the whole week, and of course stay tuned. That's probably one of the main sports for the month of May and possibly June. Of course, you got the Euro 2000, and also before Ryan goes, who you have between Chelsea versus Man City this weekend for the Champions League final?
Well, I'm gonna go USA, so I'm gonna go Christian Pulisic and Chelsea.
Is that, and Man City does have a American, Zach Steffen, but he won't be playing.
Yeah, it's true. So, hopefully Pulisic gets the start. We'll see.
Yeah, he's a good super sub, but also a good starter. He's like Seth Curry.
We hope he's a Seth Curry of USA.
Yeah, well, hopefully just for Chelsea, not for U.S. men's national team. Anyways, Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you to find out what's a good place to go visit up in upstate New York?
Mad Dog Report 18 on Twitter. So,
and you can reach us at the Sportscast 1 on Twitter or at the Sportscast.net. Like we were saying, the Champions League final is this weekend. We're having a big show this Thursday night with the soccer heavy hitters, and we'll be discussing and dissecting what's going to happen this Saturday. And then, of course, we got Victor Orocho and the Jersey Boys Sports Talk this Wednesday to round up more playoff games and things like that. Anyways, Ryan, before we go, how is your Sharks, the Rochester Sharks, doing?
Well, had a tough start to the season. We're 0-2. We got to learn to finish some games in the fourth quarter. You know, we lost, you know, the other night by 5 in overtime, and lost our first game by 107-102. So hopefully get back on track this Saturday night against the Midcoast Sternmen.
Hey, get it going. And how can people follow these games? How can they watch?
Best to watch them live, probably on Rochester Razor Sharks Facebook page. Usually the games are live on there. So
sounds good to me. Well, anyways, Ryan's coaching basketball. He understands basketball, and we'll be following the NBA playoffs throughout the week. And who will be your MVP winner? Who do you think will win it?
For the regular season, it's got to be Jokic. Like, I mean, I know you can make a case for Embiid, you can make a case for Curry, but the consistency all year, and the team never really dropped off when Jamal Murray, you know, went out. So, I mean, obviously I think it's hard to win in the playoffs without him, but he was able to carry him throughout the whole season with him and without Murray. So that's why he's got my vote.
I think the
betting odds are pretty high that Jokic will win. Curry obviously, you know, and Embiid was solid throughout the whole year. He missed some time with injury, but Curry kind of finished strong. But if he was like that the whole year, I think he definitely would have been the MVP. I mean, when he came back, you know, a couple months ago, he was, you know, fifth in scoring, and then all of a sudden jumped up, you know, the last month was incredible. Got all the way to winning the scoring title. So props, great season. You know, even didn't officially make the playoffs. What he had to do this year was unbelievable.
There you have it. Anyways, we got to go. I got to pay some bills. Ryan has to pay some bills. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, Santiago. All right, God bless.